the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's watched everybody, all of his friends get traded away or flat out released by Jacksonville over the last couple of months and years. And maybe he's just done with it. And he's saying, all right, time for me to call my shot. He went on First Take yesterday on ESPN. And I'm wondering how this will sit in the Jacksonville Jaguars locker room.
I feel like, you know, Cam went to the Super Bowl. You know, he's a great guy. I've been on Cam for a minute now. And like I say, like I told some people that talk to me, like, there's no disrespect to Minshew. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to be, get in the best position that as a team that as we can win. You know, and that's all that was about, you know, just a friendly competition because, you know, that bring out the best in people.
He's saying he wants Cam Newton in there as a quarterback.
Why wouldn't you?
Do you think that'll sit well, though, with, like, Minshew and all those guys? Because it's like, how would Leonard Fournette feel if Minshew was like, let's go get Melvin Gordon
No, it's not going to sit well with Gardner. No, it's not. But this is a – I've said this so many times about this league. This league – there's no guarantees with what you should be. You don't deserve anything. Does Gardner Minshew deserve an opportunity?
No.
If Cam Newton is out there, this is a performance-based business over and over again. And, Cam Newton's a proven commodity. He would elevate that entire roster, way it be healthy or not. He currently is better, head and shoulders better than Gardner Minshew. That's not even the conversation here. The conversation is that can he stay healthy? But, yeah, I would be recruiting the dude, too.
Yeah.
But as a teammate of Gardner Minshew's, does Fournette, is he out of line saying that another quarterback who's not on a team would be better for their team?
But that's a fair question. But Gardner Minshew's not a guy that is a franchise quarterback yet. He is not paid like a franchise quarterback. He has not driven them to the playoffs. He's won a couple games. He's in a second-year guy. He's not the future, the lead of everything. You are up to... It's up to you, I'm sorry, as Leonard Fournette, who's saying, I want to win now. I'm a running back. My time is going to be very limited. I'm coming up on my fourth, fifth year. I'm seeing all the guys in my class get paid. I want to win now, and I can respect that. I don't mind that guys shouldn't talk about that in public. That comment says that you can't share your feelings with it, and it's already been said that Leonard Fournette does not like the situation, and this might be one of those I'm trying to assert my feelings about this organization, and if you don't like what I say, maybe you can move me.
I think it is his flex on saying, look, what do I have to lose? They're shipping everybody else off.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything to lose.
You know, I'm going to get paid no matter where I go, and this could be the start of, you know, maybe Leonard Fournette just doing a little bit more of this. And I don't say this as a bad thing, because the fact of the matter is, like, look, he has no leverage. They could cut him and let him walk at any given point. I mean, he wants Cam Newton. He wants a buddy on the team. His other buddies have been released, let go, traded, and all that. I mean,
what's the loyalty in the league? Where should your loyalty be?
There really isn't one.
Well, what is the perception of loyalty when it comes to watching the NFL?
What do you mean, the perception of loyalty?
Yeah, as a player, what does fans and what do those of us that are on the outside think that players should be?
Well, they think they should be loyal to the team and the roster around them, but they're loyal to themselves first and foremost.
Yeah, and how many times do we have to see teams try to market that we love these guys, they're great players, Dave Gettleman trade OBJ, trade them out, get them out of here. I mean, so it's just so dog-eat-dog because you're so confused as an athlete. You're trained your entire life to be loyal to your teammates, get to college, and you have to support your college. Where, you know, guys get tattoos, and we've seen that, and you're a duck for life, you're a beaver for life. And then all of a sudden you get to the league, and it's not that way. And you're very confused. And Leonard Fournette's going, you're getting rid of all our good players. Yeah. We have plenty of money. This isn't a money choice. What are you doing? You're getting rid of Ramsey. You're getting rid of, I can't always say his name,
Ngakoue.
Ngakoue. You're getting rid of everybody. You're getting rid of all our guys. And so you want me to sit here and go, yeah, let's be rebuilding when I know I'm a running back and my shelf life is 6 years in the NFL.
Yeah. I was reading the details on the Christian McCaffrey deal too. Like, and you talk about that loyalty thing. Like, remember, he's the highest paid running back in NFL history now. Average annual salary of $16 million. He has no guaranteed money after 2022. It's a three-year deal. And actually, it's a two-year deal because they can get their way out of it in 2022. because his $8.1 million for 2022 is one of those guaranteed on the fifth day of the league year, you know? So they can get out of it anytime they want and just let him walk if they don't like it on the back half of it. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be a long-term extension through 2025, and it can be done in 3 years.
Yeah. That's a smart deal by Carolina. I wouldn't expect anything different.
It is pretty team-friendly.
Yeah, it's team-friendly. It's smart for him. He gets the kind of money you need, and you're not want to give long-term investment into that stuff.
Yeah, and his base salary for 2020 is only $825,000.
Yeah. I hope we can slowly start to convince fans as best you can, and we can educate you to understand a little bit more about where as fans and what you should expect from these guys for long term in positions other than quarterback, because it's mm-hmm. just you're not going to get the love and the loyalty like you would expect from these positions. It falls so quickly, especially bad organizations. I mean, you fall out of love fast
mm-hmm.
with guys.
Well, the NFL draft is coming up, and a lot of guys are going to be replaced just flat out.
Every week they come to take your job. Every week.
Daniel Jeremiah, he's a NFL Network draft guy.
He was on the show the other, 2 weeks ago? Did we have him on? I thought we did.
That was Ross Tucker.
No.
We had Daniel Jeremiah on?
Buck, didn't we have Jeremiah on?
No, we didn't have Daniel Jeremiah.
Why am I thinking of... I'm thinking of somebody else.
I have no idea who you're thinking of.
Ross Tucker? Scott Baer?
I don't know.
I don't think we've had a draft guy on. Outside of Ross Tucker. Who hosts the draft show? You can hear it tonight on The Fan.
All right.
After primetime. Well, Daniel Jeremiah said there's going to be less of a herd mentality in the NFL draft this year. How do you feel about this? Less group thinking in the draft because the coaches and scouts have not been able to go to pro days, coaches, scouts, and GMs, and spend so much time around each other where they end up forming a consensus on players because all of these things have been canceled. So what's going to happen is his line of thinking is that you'll have guys going higher and lower than what we think because they're not talking to each other as much.
Yeah, I like this. And I think I remember hearing him about his thought is that if I watch tape on somebody and I interview him and I sit there and talk to him, I formed my opinion. I was like, this is a really good player. I like this situation. I like the way he makes this read. I like the way he moves his footwork. I formed my personal opinion, and I have trusted what I've done for years as a scout or development director, trying to then present what I've done in my research to my team and my general manager. What happens at these pro days and all these other stuff is that you start huddling around these four and five guys, and then it goes, well, I think he's got a little bit slower. He's like, oh, really? I didn't see that. And he's like, yeah, maybe. Well, I talked to his mom, and they were really concerned about his grades here. And it's like, really? I didn't really. And you start to be influenced by the masses mm-hmm. instead of trusting your own personal judgment. And this might be one of those times where we see the draft have a shakeup that we haven't had in years, decades, because you'll actually have to form your own opinion. And some of these scouts are scared.
Yeah.
They're scared because it's not everybody liked this guy. So I kind of got if he busts, I'm okay.
I've seen the idea that this will lead to less trades. I think it may lead to more trades because there will be teams that are like, panic. I'm just gonna go ahead and trade. Or we love a guy so much, we're gonna move up. But I see that a lot of the kind of the slanderous things that get thrown around about guys like Mekhi Becton from Louisville. There was a report where somebody was saying that they were talking to a league coach, a coordinator in the league, who said that he has reservations about Becton because he loves cooking more than he loves football.
That's just ridiculous.
The guy loves cooking.
He wants to be, not everybody's all in on their sport. I didn't love football. Some of these guys don't love football. You learn to appreciate it. But just because somebody likes to play the piano or is a musician, does that mean that they can't play football?
I think that is so stupid.
Michael Crabtree once asserted that football was not his passion. Fashion was his passion.
Yeah. All right. Did it make him a bad wide receiver?
No. Well, according to Richard Sherman, he's trash.
That's true.